good to be in God's house, and I know God wants to bless you right where you are. So just open up your hearts today. Open up your hearts to what God wants to give you, wants to you to receive. Because this is, don't just come to church, sit here, and go home and do whatever you want. This is a time, that critical time in the history of the church. Too many people say they're Christians and don't come. I think I told you last week I'm going to continue on with this message because it was too long to be in one day. And if you missed last week, go to the website and listen to it on the website so you can keep up with what's going on. But today would be part two of interceding for the nation, for our nation. And you know, people don't think it's important, but it's very important according to God's word, and I'm going to show you that. But as Christians, however, we are not to put politics before Christ. And we've seen that. Just saw it. Still seeing it. Putting politics before Christ. And some people are so politically minded, they are no good spiritually. You may know some people like that. And you know, we got to put Christ first and do what his word says. And there are some people who, if they did pray for someone that's in office, they'd pray for them to be unsuccessful. I've heard that. Pray for them to be unsuccessful. And you know, and that's a selfish prayer. I don't care who it is, we need to pray for them to be successful. And you know, and I can tell you, God's not going to answer that prayer. God ain't going to answer that prayer. And the Lord impressed on me that we should be praying especially for our nation. You say, well, election's over. No, election may be over, but this world continues to roll on. There's things in this world that are still all out of whack. But we need to pray for our nation, for the things can be changed through prayer. I've seen so many things get changed because of prayer. You know, we might feel like we have the weight of the world on our shoulders. We may feel like there's no hope for me anymore because of this and that and all this kind of stuff. But there is hope when you pray and pray and pray and pray. Now, does that mean everybody got to just pile in one place and just pray? No, you pray right where you're at. Just pray there. And God doesn't tell us to do something put extra words in the Bible or nothing. No, he tells us plain as day. I can remember, you probably can too, when you were young and your parents would tell you to do something. They meant it. I don't know about you, but if mine said go out there and feed the hogs, that's nasty stuff. You know what that is, you feeding them? Whatever you had that was left over. Yeah, all week in a can, a bucket, a slop bucket they call it. You walk out to the pig pen and you pour that out and they were eating that up like it was ribeye steak. I looked at them and they were all dirty and I said, but you understand what I'm saying. But when your parents say to do something, they meant to do it. God is telling us to do it, to do something here. And he has a purpose in mind. You know, God's not going to send us off out through a beach area or wherever, jungle or whatever, where there's quicksand. You know, say, yeah, but if he sends me, he's going to get me out. Well, you're going on your own. You think about it. A lot of times we say, well, God's going to take care of me anyway. Not if you're doing something you're not supposed to do. You see, we test God to a point to where, oh, this quicksand ain't going to get me. I don't know what's going on. God, where you at? God said, don't go down that road. Don't go down that road. Go this way. Why you want me to go? I like it over here. It's got pretty flowers. It smells so good over here. I'm going to go this way. It looks like a desert over here. Why should I have to go? I don't want to go over there. I'm going to go over here anyway. And what happens? God, help me. Save me. I told you to go this way. You understand what I'm saying? We put the blame on God for every little thing. And you know, he has a purpose for each and every one of us in our minds. And you know, and that's why we, in our scripture text, 1 Timothy 2, chapter 2, we can learn the purpose of praying for our leaders. And I know, I you know, being a leader of this church, I know that you're praying. And you know, a lot of times, sometimes we really got to pray because it's tough. You know, it's that because we pray for our presidents, we pray for our leaders in our government, we pray, but especially like here, and I appreciate the prayers because they're needed. I'm telling you, they're needed. And a matter of fact, I want you to look in 1 Timothy 2, verse 1. We'll start at verse 1. I want you to look at this. I want you to chew it up. Grab it. And it says, therefore, I exhort first of all the supplication, prayers, intercession, and giving of thanks be made for all men. In verse 2, for kings and all who are in authority. All who are in authority. All who are in authority. I said that plenty of times because it says right here to pray for those. And it says that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. Woo! God didn't put that just so he could, you know, he didn't pass that on and say, okay, put this in there. They may need this. No, we need this. Whatever God put into his word is very important. And Paul said to pray for those who are in authority so that we who are Christians, right, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life. Ooh. And that's also for our government to live a peaceful life. I can't remember the last time our government was in a peaceable life. Hallelujah. But you know, we have to understand that God is concerned about us and will move, and he'll move, even though those who are in authority may not be Christians. You see what I'm saying? Pray for them anyway. Because God, what? God said to pray for them. They may not be a Christian, which, you know, could be. A lot of it's doubtful. But pray for them anyway. Pray for those people in authority. Pray for the people, as God's word tells us. God is concerned about us and we'll move. He's going to move in our life as long as we're praying and doing what God says to do. We won't have to worry about that quicksand. And he'll answer our prayers and do things for us that we may lead a what? A quiet and peaceable life. Who likes a quiet and peaceable life? Woo! I want a quiet and peaceable life. It's nothing like that. You know, I mean, it's horrible here. Yeah. If things are not going, if not peaceable. You know, I mean, I don't know about you, but I've gone through some unpeaceable times. And they're not good. And I've been through some unquiet times. That's not good. You know. Now, you know when you're at peace, whenever you can go get in your recliner and lay there and get in there, and before you know it, you're gone. And you got the TV blasting. You got somebody trying to talk to you. A lot of times I'm like that. I can lay in that recliner. I don't care what's on TV. I'm out. Boop. I don't know anything for another 15, 20 minutes. Then I'm up and running. Why's that? I got energized. Hallelujah. But that's what we need to do. Have that peaceable life and that quiet life. Even with all the noise going on around you. You know, you can do something and just live like God tells us to do. But I notice the ultimate purpose of praying for our nation. The ultimate person. Now I want you to look in 1 Timothy 2 and verse 3. Chapter 2 and verse 3. He says, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. It's acceptable. Whoa! Don't you want to be accepted by God? Yeah. Don't be just a little runny-nosed Christian. You want to be acceptable by God. You want Him to, you know, I don't know about you, but, you know, when you do something good, you want to hear somebody say, good job. Good job. Right? How does that make you feel inside? When somebody tells you, just like Linda did, told the ladies about how great y'all, awesome y'all were and all that. And she was telling you, and it makes you feel good. And I was there, and I felt good too. Praise the Lord. But like I said, it makes you feel good inside. It's acceptable. A lot of people, you tell them, man, what a great job you did. Oh, no, that's just the Lord. No, it was you, and the Lord's on the inside of you. You see what I'm saying? A lot of, they want to say, well, it was just God. God used you. It was you. You know, I mean, sure, you're giving God the credit, but they see God in you. You know, you don't have to say, well, I'm a Christian. Let God wants to, a lot of times when people give you a thank you or give you a gratitude, give you this, and it's them, and you need it at that time. You see what I'm saying? You needed that because you were probably feeling a little low. You were probably, but somebody comes up and says, man, you're something else. I like how you do. I like how you did this. I really appreciate that. Oh, no, I don't need, I know. That's just God. But you need God. And God works through you. And, you know, we can give Him the praise. And we can give Him that. Man, when somebody says that, thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for using me. Praise you, Lord. But receive. A lot of people don't know how to receive. They don't, when people give you a thank you, oh, it was nothing. Yeah, it was something. Especially when they do things around here, and I say, man, I appreciate that. Oh, it wasn't nothing. Yeah, it was. Or I had to try to figure out how to do it. And it probably took me a whole lot longer, but you jumped right in there and did it. That's why it takes a community of people in a church to do things, to happen. You think Linda couldn't have done all that by herself. She could have, but she'd have had to start planning probably in June. Well, she probably planning, but I mean, putting it all out by June. The help. People just don't realize how much help is needed in a church to put on a function like that. It takes a lot of people. And God wants to use you to bless her and bless this church. Because there's a lot of ladies that were here. 30 ladies? 30 ladies. And probably half of them weren't from this church. That means that y'all are some good inviters. Y'all got that many people here? Some people got more than one here. Some people got more than two here. Some people bought a lot. So that's what it's all about, inviting people. It's not us four no more. You see what I'm saying? That you have a part to play here at this church. Can you imagine? If you do your part here at the church, your chair stays. If you don't do a part, that chair gets moved out. Don't that mean? That means you're going to have to stand up until you do something. Go get you a chair. I'm just saying that things, you know, that's what it will look like for the people who do things in the church. And God wants to use, and He wants us to do to please God. Are you pleasing God where you are in your life? You see what I'm saying? And, you know, if Christians want to please God, what are you going to put number one in your life or on your prayer list? You're going to put your children. You're going to put you. You're going to put the church. No. You're going to put what God says, pray first for authority. So remember, you start praying for authority, think God's going to add things to you. Start praying for authority. That's what He says. Remember we said it right up here in the beginning? We said, therefore I exhort first of all supplications and all of that, talking about praying for authority, first thing. So we need to pray for the people in authority. Praise the Lord. But you know, we have to also look. Let's look in 1 Timothy 2:4 again. 1 Timothy 2:4. And it says, who desires all men to be saved? Who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth? Woo! That's what he's wanting us to do. Pray for that. God's ultimate purpose is having us pray for those in authority, is that we will be able to spread the gospel. You know, peaceable life. You think about it. You got to have a peaceable life, and we want that, and it's up to us to, his ultimate purpose is to get people to be, so that we can be able to spread the gospel. Now, I just don't want you to raise your hand, but I just want you to think, how many people did you minister to? Now, I'm not talking about putting out a Bible and start preaching to anybody. How many people did you minister to last week? You see what I'm saying? How many people did you let them know that you are a Christian? How many people did you let know by the words you say out of your mouth the promises of God? You see, you're missionaries here in this country, and they're needed badly here in this country. Why do you think missionaries from other countries come here? You ever notice that? But there's a lot of lost people around. A lot of lost people that put themselves first and not God. They put themselves before anything else going on, before God. They'll put even their religion ahead of God. Because I can tell you, the Bible was never started by saying, you belong to this denomination, you belong to that denomination, you belong. No, denominations were made because man got mad at somebody else. They got mad at another church, and you know, they stopped, they got rid of the First Baptist and went to the Second Baptist. I'm just using that because that was more my background, knowing that, you know, I've never seen a caravan of movers in my life, but from one church to another, because they got mad over here. That, why? Because you can't do that in this church. You can't clap your hand. You can't dance. You can't sing loud. You can't jump. You can't do. Boy, that's putting bondage on people, ain't it? Think about it. That's why this is a non-denominational church. We got people from all denominations in this church right now, from Baptist to Catholic to probably Methodist, Pentecostal, you name it. But this church is a non-denominational church, and what do? Worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Somebody says, what happened if I wear makeup? I don't care. You need to paint the barn. You see what I'm saying? There's nothing wrong putting on makeup. But I understand what I'm saying, that we come to worship Jesus here. We're not worried about your makeup. I don't care if you got it from Mary Kay. I don't care if you got it from Avon. I don't care if you got it from wherever. You come to church to worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That's it. It's over. I mean, there's no, somebody said, what kind of church you got? We got a Christian. We worship Jesus in our church. We give him all the praise, glory, and honor. Yeah, but what should I wear? Whatever you want to wear. You know, whatever you want to put on your body, make sure it looks desirable to the King of Kings. But I'm not going to tell you what you need to wear. Sometimes somebody said, did you see that nice shirt that so-and-so had on? No. I don't pay attention. I look at him in the face. I talk to him. Hey, how you doing? I'm glad you're here. Da-da-da-da. And let's go into worship and Jesus. You see what I'm saying? I did notice one day, I know Noah had a pair of shoes. Like, I love those shoes. And I found, where'd you get them shoes? We sound like a bunch of ladies talking. No, where'd you get them shoes? There were camouflage. There was that Under Armour. And I said, man, where'd you get them? I got mine at Gander when it was open. He said, I did too. I said, I like them shoes. Hey, I like them. I like mine too. I wore mine the other day. I thought about it when I put them on. But you see what I'm saying? That we come to worship Jesus. And we can fellowship. Matter of fact, it brought a good conversation on. Hey, I like that. That's your shirt. Yeah, I got some just like. Even told Christian the other day, he had a little shirt on. I said, man, I got one just like that. Mine's long sleeve, though. Man, we were just talking away. So that's what we do here at this church. What you do? Well, we come in and worship Jesus. We give him all the praise, glory, and honor. And you know, and if you want to, if you do not have a good government, think about this. It's whether it, you know, you get that quietness or that peace, it hinders the spreading of the gospel. If your government is in turmoils, it's hard to spread the gospel. Why is that? Because the nation you're supposed to be praying for is in turmoil. And God says to live peaceable life, right? And our government needs to be prayed for so that we can have a peaceable life, so that we're able to spread the gospel. And you know, in times of political unevil, now think about this, we are hindering the spreading of the gospel. How about in 2020? How many people scattered? The government says you can't open them churches, but you can open up the bar. You see what I'm saying? Government is not, wasn't living peaceable, and they were doing this to Christians. And you know, guess what? Christians said, okay, we'll stay at home. And that's when it all went to on Facebook Live and YouTube and all of that. And what's happening? People are staying at home. And we took a poll. And not from here. We know this. We're going to have just DVDs and CDs. If you like to see it live, you get a CD live. You won't get it live. You'll get it on a DVD. But we took a poll. The people that say they watch it on TV only watch about 10 minutes out of 30 minutes. They don't sit there and watch it. Can you? I mean, I know I don't have anything like anything that caused me to be looking at something and go do something else, go do this. No, I'm the type when something comes up, I'm going to do something else, and it'll be playing in the background. Am I spiritually hooked up with what's going on? Nope. I forgot the percentage, but people only listen to 10 minutes out of a 30-minute to an hour message. That's not good. It's not good. But they're saying at home, I'm watching church on TV. You understand what I'm saying? This is where the anointing is. This is where you're receiving the benefits of the presence of the Holy Spirit that's in this place. You can't get that in your house by yourself. Why is that? Because God said to come together. Right? Come together and receive the Word of God. And I don't know about you, but I've learned that the Word of God is the most powerful thing in this world. I've seen it move mountains. I've seen it move people in my life. I've seen it move people out of my life. You see what I'm saying? It is very important. And God wants us to get the gospel out. Just like the ladies got other people in. Sure, they had a good time, but guess what? They knew about Jesus before they left. You see what I'm saying? We say our country is going to hell in a handbasket. Why? Are we praying? Are we doing our part? You know, we can't do it all, but we can do our part. Just like this church can do its part to bring those people in. He wants us to get the truth out there. Matter of fact, look in Matthew 24:14. Matthew 24:14. And it says, and this gospel, what you're hearing today, and this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations. Like our missionaries that we support that are out there in Hungary and in Israel. And it says, witness to all the nations. And then the end will come. How many people you've heard? Come, Lord Jesus. Come now. It says right there, and the gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world, even in parts of Brobridge, Cecilia, Henderson, Butler Rose, preached in all the world as a witness to all nations, and then the end will come. So people saying, well, I'm waiting on Jesus to come. He ain't coming until everybody gets preached. Here's the word. So we got a little time left for your family, for your friends. Because when that day comes, Jesus comes. It's over. And the devil would do his very best to see that this is not accomplished. When you don't minister to somebody about Jesus, to get them in church somewhere, if they, you know, wherever the Spirit of God sends them is where they need to be. As I've said before, how many times you're playing baseball or softball and you hit a fly ball and you're right here and you catch it. Okay? Being in the wrong place, you may be over here and the ball falls over there where your blessings are. That's why it's good to be in the church where God sent you, where God wants you, not just because, oh, we got my friend, my aunt lives, she goes to church there, and she's been there for 102 years. As a matter of fact, they got a chair named right for her with her name on that chair. That's why I go to church. No, you go to church where the Spirit of God sends you. Because that's when you get your blessings of healing and financially. Because God wants to bless you, but sometimes you may be in the wrong place to get your blessings. And naturally, we see why the devil would oppose our nation so he could stop the flow of the truth of the Word of God and also to the whole world. And the devil wants to stop us. And you can see why he wants us to pray. He doesn't. The devil doesn't want us to pray for those in authority, but God wants us to pray for those in authority because of a peaceful nation. And, you know, because he would have all men to be saved. He wants everybody to be saved. God loves everybody. He doesn't want to see anybody go to hell because the choice is ours to go to hell. We make the choice if we're going to hell or not. And you know, it's a lot of people out there think they're going to heaven. It's also a lot of people that going to hell. And you know, we also have to understand to come to the knowledge of the truth. And the truth is God's Word. He tells us in His Word. What does it take to know Jesus as Lord and Savior? To accept God's Son, Jesus. And believe what the blood of Jesus did for us. And live the life that Jesus wants us to live. And speak the things that Jesus wants us to speak. You think about it. The things that we get come out of our mouth. You know, I get myself sometimes in trouble and I'll say, doggone it, I messed up by complaining about something. Or, you know, whatever it is. And you just... Complaining is not in God's vocabulary. We saw what happened to the nations that complained. And I don't want to be that kind of nation. I want to be the nation that follows after Jesus. And we need to understand that God loves us. And He's going to do His very best for us. Hallelujah.